Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast.
Hello, Philadelphia law enforcement is investigating after a mob ransacked a Wawa store Saturday, causing residents alarm. The incident happened that evening at the business on Roosevelt Boulevard, where police said they saw 100 juveniles causing damage inside the building. Video footage showed the group walking through the aisles as several items flew through the air. In the distance, a woman was seen standing above everyone else and appeared to be twerking with her arms raised as those below her watched. Of course they did. How could they resist? The store was left trash with items all over the floor as the group gathered in the parking lot outside. A resident told ABC6 she feels hesitant when it comes to shopping at that location, saying, "Sometimes I'm afraid to stop. It's a shame." Former employee Caitlin Holtzman also expressed her frustration, telling the outlet, "I was angry. I was very upset because being in the shoes of those employees, I know just how terrifying it is and how, like, frustrating it is having to clean up after that as well." Some Senate conservatives recently urged President Joe Biden to combat the nation's violent crime wave by deploying every available resource to cities across the country, Breitbart News reported. In their letter, Senator Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty asked Biden to use those resources to fight the high rates of homicide and assaults, the outlets continued. "Rampant crime is not inevitable. Tough law enforcement can stop it," Blackburn and Hagerty write. "But that requires a commitment to law enforcement, and a commitment to law enforcement is something we apparently no longer had." I watched the tape of this event actually last night, and compared to other things we've seen this year, it wasn't the scariest thing by a long way. Mainly kids being completely out of control and going all Lord of the Flies on a Wawa, which, side note, for touring musicians is like a 7-Eleven, but with higher quality sandwiches. Highly recommended. Whenever you're touring through Philly, you always go into a Wawa and get a sandwich just because. So it wasn't the scariest display, but it was mad. It was crazy and full of chaos, and it made me sad for the state of our world and the state of America. I was sitting there on the couch watching it thinking, for some reason, this makes me sad, really sad. I don't know why, because like I said, it wasn't the wildest thing. It was just out of control chaos. Made me sad for the state of America. People have learned that they don't need to respect the law and the order it provides, and they have been told that they are the victims of society and that their rage is justified. And in a time when for them to elevate their station has become a distant dream, harder and harder to imagine ever achieving. It made me sad because this chaos was orchestrated by an agenda of chaos, and certainly won't be the last we see of episodes like this. It made me sad because it's not the country or the world I want my daughter to grow up in. And it made me sad because I know that chaos of this kind can easily escalate and will escalate into something much darker. If Satan had a birthday bash, this could be the opening ceremony, like an aperitif before the main course. It was ominous and twisted and signaling a world yet to come, a world of lawlessness that we are getting more and more used to all the time. Defunding the police as crime is reaching record levels, as the economy crashes, as strange violent crimes are on the increase, and as waves of criminals flood through our open borders. And no, not all immigrants are criminals, of course, but the epidemic of fentanyl is flooding in from there, and certainly many criminals along with it, child trafficking and the like. We are witnessing a controlled demolition of the nation we loved. Where elevating your station and reaching for something called the American dream was something you could conceivably attain. This made me sad because people who act this way don't believe anything like that is really possible for them. And it's not even their fault. The media tells them as much on an hourly basis, tells them they never had a chance and that they've been wronged. And so they are acting accordingly, taking out their collective frustration as a collective on what amounts to be a 7-Eleven on steroids, the great Wawa, which always makes me think of George Harrison's song by the same name, Wawa, and of course, the pedal that Hendrix and Clapton made famous, Is that even, I don't know who that is right at the top of my head. I didn't plan on that, folks. Back when they did that, I mean, Hendrix and Clapton making the wah-wah famous, the country certainly had problems, but it believed in itself. And people believed in the promise that came with it. So when people entered stores, they may have been concentrating on the dreams they had and plotting on how they could achieve them, rather than breaking down in the madness of rage to mirror the messages they've been delivered by the media and how this is a vile place which deserves none of their respect. That message, of course, has truth in it. That's how the devil operates, two truths and a lie. The lie is that they are helpless and that their principal identity is one of a victim. But if they believe that part of the lie, then any amount of chaos they create is justified, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because we are all built the same, and our sins must be paid for and repentance given, or else they burn our souls and our lives from the inside out. They might have thought they were ransacking a Wawa, but in fact, they were ransacking their own souls. And it's possible, or even certain, that they didn't even notice the puppet strings connected to their limbs becoming weapons of chaos. You can email me, and please do, josepharthur@tntradio.live. If you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We are also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, Heart, and TuneIn. Now there is no reason to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
Stream the news wherever you are.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dickie Fleiser is a multi-instrumentalist and singer-songwriter born in Austria and brought up in Germany. He has toured the world with various bands and artists ranging from Bruce Dickinson. Tell me why I have to be a power slave. I don't want to die. I'm a god. What can't I live on? That's Bruce Dickinson, power slave of Iron Maiden, to singer-songwriter Anna Nalick. In the 80s, his band's Vamp was the first German band to be signed to an American major label, Atlantic. In the 90s, his British band Skin reached the UK top 10, had top 20 hits, and shared the stage with Bon Jovi, Van Halen, Motorhead, Def Leppard, Journey, ZZ Top, and Whitesnake. Dickie recently released an amazing protest song called This Is Not America, and we are going to hear it later, and we're just going to talk, shoot the breeze about the state of America, the state of music, and everything in between. Welcome, Dickie. How's it going? And thanks for coming on.
Hey, Joseph. Let me say hello with let me give you Voodoo Child back.
Voodoo Child, that's what it was. I was like Voodoo in the child, middle of man. That intro. I was like, what is that, sweet child of mine that. There?
Awesome.
You're a touring musician. Mighty, you know the wah-wah. You know the legend of the wah-wah.
The wah-wah.
Right?
I love the wah-wah.
No, the wah-wah pedal, of course. But I mean the wah-wah convenience store that got ransacked.
The wah-wah convenience store, you know the you know, not so much. I might have been in one, but you know, as a touring musician, I don't know why, but especially the last dozen years, it was more like the Midwest, and it was,
yeah,
I was more in the Midwest and not so much on the East Coast. Though we played
yeah,
in Philly,
that's a Philly thing.
I didn't make it to Wawa.
Wawa's you know, a Philly chilly. Thing. Well, I'm a New Yorker, so I was like always over in Philly. It's like greater New York in a way. So
I love Philly though. I love Philly though. It's like all the seriously, like one of the some of the nicest people I know are all from Philly. Yeah.
Well, I like it. It's, I mean, Rocky Balboa. Need we say more? Need we say more? Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, it seems you know what Philly. It seems, but yeah, it seems like but they have a you know as in grounded people. You know what I mean? No BS people. That's sort of how I would describe it.
Yeah. Kind of a Chicago
with not
vibe.
As much. Yeah, not as much anger as New York, you know what I mean? Although I love New York, my wife's from New York, but a little less angry, I think, in Philly.
Well, definitely a Chicago vibe too. It's those big cities with, like, Chicago's kind of like Midwest, but it forgot that it's a city. But it's also got that Midwest vibe, like everyone's friendly. Yeah. And I don't know. That's the way I perceive it. Somebody might be listening going, you're crazy. People in Chicago are brutal. But I don't know. These kind of cities that don't feel like massive cities, even though they are.
Yeah.
Because, what's been going on, man? How's life treated you since the last time you graced us with your presence?
Well, I tell you, it's been interesting. I have three kids, and they all, in the last 2 years, I mean, last 2 years, school obviously was a terrible, terrible thing. And as a result, so they used to go all to the same school. And so it's like a K-8 school, and they all used to go to the same school. So it was like an easy drop off when school was actually back in session and not on Zoom or wherever it then happened to be. But now I have three children in three different school scenarios. So I'm finally starting to get a rhythm after like 4 weeks of school starting. My oldest is going to a Christian high school. A small Christian high school. And, you know, that's sort of one of the things, if you would have asked me like 4 years ago or something like that, where's your daughter going to go in high school? The last place I would have said would be a small private Christian high school. Not because I'm anti-Christian or anything like that, but simply, I simply thought, you know, public high school, she loves the arts. Let's go somewhere where it's performing arts. And, you know, and you can, you know, make music, be in a theater program, go all out. And now I'm during these 4 years, like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't like what they're talking about there. Exactly. I don't like the agenda they have. I don't want it to be in a big high school where no one knows what's going on anymore. I want to know that the people who are there. And you know what the crazy thing is also? That this school where you're talking to the director and everything, they feel like, okay, what we want is critical thinking. That's what their primary goal is.
That's the main thing to teach every human, let alone high school kid. That's the main thing to teach every single person on earth right now is critical thinking and turn off your television.
Right. And I was so happy to hear that from them. You know, they were basically saying, you know, we know that half of the people who are here in the school are not Christian. So we got, you know, like the main history teacher, social studies. He's saying, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. If you tell me you believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to, you know, interrogate you about your faith. If you tell me you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to interrogate you about your non-faith. And, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter if you believe or not, but we're going to go deep, and we're going to answer questions. And
is it required to have belief or no?
No.
That's cool.
That's the thing. It is. And they know that, you know, half of the school is not, maybe they have a different faith or they're atheists or whatever. And it's all, you know, it's tolerated, and it's a tolerant, which is Christian ideal anyway.
Right.
You're tolerant to other faiths, and you embrace others. Anyway, so I was really happy about that. Also now I have a 9-year-old at home that I'm homeschooling because same reasons. You know, she was in school, and she went through this thing she had a really hard time with the masks, and masks in LA here at our school especially were everywhere and all the time. And she had a strict teacher every time, you know, her nose was showing. It's like, oh, put your mask on. And so that was the atmosphere. And that was also the atmosphere with the kids. So the kids are doing the same. Keep your mask on. It's like, oh my God. You know, so you have now the police of 9-year-olds telling you to keep your mask on at all times. But the problem was really that she started to get panic attacks.
Oh yeah, you told me.
She called me every Yeah, she told me everything.
She got bullied like crazy.
Called.
That's right.
Right.
Traumatized.
So it's like, yeah. Yeah. So it's like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to give her at least a year off. Be
so
at home.
Smart.
Be safe. Be, you know, feel safe. Heal the trauma.
Yeah.
And, you know, we found a great group. We started our own little school pod with other free thinking parents. It's actually a blessing, seriously.
Look at you, man. Dad of the year. I thought I was dad of the year, but I'm thinking, I think I'm getting runner up now after this conversation, dude. Jeez.
I mean, you know that
you're making it hard for the rest of us, dude. Come on. Turn it down a notch, Chicky.
Turn it down. You know, all men play on 10. That's a New York band. You know, Manowar?
Yeah.
The band?
Oh, yeah.
All men play on 10. Never ever turn it down again. That's one of their songs.
That's great. What a line. Those were the days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what about the third kid?
Yeah, man. So third kid, we actually did send him back to our old school to try it out. It's like it's first grade. All his friends from kindergarten went there. It's like, we'll just try it out and see if we can do a new, you know, if we can build a new community there. Lots of our friends who had kids there left because of what went on.
Yeah.
And so we have like 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and I'm getting training to lead council, as in that means sort of circles of parents and kids. So I got some training and I'm trying to build community there. And
all right,
yeah,
let me go to break. When we come back, I got some more questions about this school stuff and how much you're policing. This is real interesting because there's three different worlds. I mean, most parents just enter one of these worlds. You got a public school, you got a Christian school, and then you're homeschooling. That's like covering all the bases. I'm wondering how
much
you're going to get involved in sort of policing what they do at the public school. That's sort of interesting to me. And if you're commiserating with any other parents there that are probably also concerned, you probably are finding community of that. We'll be right back with Dad of the Year, Dickie Fleiser, after these words on TNT.
Jeremy Beck on TNT Radio.
Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has walked back an election promise to legislate a new federal anti-corruption commission by year's end, saying that the government's pledge is only to introduce the bill to Parliament. Now, I suppose they're worried about the lost sitting days arising from the official period of mourning of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and that would take out a bit of time there. But I really don't think the Corruption Commission would necessarily stop corruption, just the same as the Royal Commission doesn't necessarily stop problems even after hours and hours and thousands of hours of going through all sorts of scandals in the past. The corruption just keeps happening over and over again. Call me cynical, but that just seems to be the case.
Jeremy Beck on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can't happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com.
It's never a burden to fight for truth. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back with Dickie Fleiser, who we were just talking about homeschooling his kids. He's a great musician. We got a great protest anthem coming up after the news. This is not America, which is phenomenal. And so we were just going over your homeschooling, your youngin, or your mid child, and then the young one's going to public school, and the other one's going to Christian school. They're teaching critical thinking there. That's enough. whether you believe in Jesus or not. And I totally get what you're saying about you never thought you'd send your kid to a Christian school. I'm Christian, and I feel much after, you know, a couple of years ago, I never would have considered that either. I would have thought public school would be the thing. You get a wider expanse of what the world is actually like, and that would be, you know, I'm kismet with your way of thinking there. But yeah, after these last few years, for sure, critical thinking, if I don't care what kind of school it is, almost, if you're teaching critical thinking, that's the one. So that's great. And so the one who's going to public school, are you finding allegiance with any other parents that are concerned, that are on your wavelength, that are going to pay extra special close attention?
It's a good question. It's the school year just started. I know a few of the parents from before, and with them, I'm not sure. I know for sure there's one family in the class that feels the same way. So that's great. Great to know at least one. And when you talk to someone who you don't know yet, it's like, how do you go there? How do you go there without what do you say? It's almost like you're speaking in code with people,
right? Yeah. You're feeling them out. I know.
You're feeling them out.
Somebody should make a manual on how you feel somebody out, like code words or something, or like soft sells, and like, or actually the people in the sort of truth or supposed, you know, air quotes. I kind of don't like the word truth or community, but that's kind of what it's always de facto called, I guess. I don't know why I don't like it. I don't know. It's something about it rubs me wrong.
I agree. It sounds a little. Sounds a little like you're on your religious. I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds a little religious to me. I don't know.
It's got a QAnon spice to it as well, like truth or I don't know. I just don't love it. I don't know why. I mean, I wish we could come up with a better name. So we should work on that as well. But yes, they should put out like code words or something, like say asparagus a lot in a sentence, and then you're talking to you one of your own, you know, say like some kind of safe words.
Oh, that's
asparagus.
Great. I love that.
Asparagus morning. Yeah. Anyway. So how concerned are you there for the public school kid? How concerned are you? Are you worried about it? Are you talking to their guidance counselor? Are you taking extra steps yourself then, if you don't really know that many kismet parents?
Yeah. So I'm asking him every day how school was, and, you know, if something, you know, what happened, you know, and he's seven, so he's not talking much, but when something comes up that is strange to him, I think he will talk about it. I'm also sort of speaking with the teacher, and just, you know, just checking in, and she seems cool, which these days can mean many things, but she seems like she's not pushing a crazy agenda right now. It seems to be quite, quite harmless first grade stuff, to put it like this. So, you know,
are you allowed to go up to them and say, hey, are you going to be teaching like gender identity stuff to first graders? Or, you know, are you allowed to just straight up ask them straight up questions?
To be honest, I think you're allowed to do pretty much anything you want, but if they,
I mean, without getting canceled or
right.
I would imagine they would have to be.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to tell. What is interesting is that a friend of mine, I'm teaching a they. I'm teaching drums to a they at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. So to a don't want to mention her name. See, now I'm saying her. I don't want to mention their name.
You missed.
But
gender.
The thing is, so now. Yeah,
that's a hate crime, by the way. You just accidentally committed a hate crime.
Right.
But
and just that whole world. It, no, I know. But it's so, that whole world is so tricky to navigate, and you know, and I and it's you know, if somebody's, it's like I want to respect their wishes.
Yeah, of
they
course.
Are very young. That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
Like, and of course, it's not on me anyway. Whatever, it's their life and their parents. But it is so tricky to navigate that and to, yeah.
Well, the they one is difficult because it's plural, so that's confusing. Now, listen, if a kid wanted me to refer to them as whatever pronoun they wanted, I would do it. Like, I honestly don't have problems with the pronoun thing. I mean, what I have problems with is gender reassignment surgery for the very young. I think
teenagers. Just, yeah,
that's just... I don't want to go all down that rabbit hole, but that's the real issue.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of propaganda coming at these kids. So, but if a kid was choosing to be called a different pronoun than what you would think was apparent, I would acquiesce to it. You know, I just would.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, that's, yeah. I know, man. It's a interesting one.
Yeah,
but so it's like
yeah.
But what I hear is though that the school, something that I just heard that the school somehow got involved, and that I'm interested to hearing about. I don't have anything specific to know, but like that's the thing. Like, how is a school going to get involved in all that? Like, they really shouldn't. So that's where the public school is overstepping right now, I think.
Well, how did that look though? Were they just trying to protect her right to, or I mean their right? See, I accidentally just did it as well. That was an accident. It's, you know, you gotta give us old guys a break. So it's like, we're coming from a different world. So there's neuro pathways like well established already that we sometimes fire, and we're not trying to be hateful. So did this
totally.
Just basically protect their right to be called a they them? Is that what it was?
You know, I don't know yet the ins and outs, to be honest, the real in detail, but yeah, I can't say more.
Right.
To it, I would just be speculating.
All right, well, and then we're going to go to the headlines, and then we're going to come out of the headlines and hear this banger anthem, This Is Not America. It's going to change the energy in the room, and then we're going to talk music. We've already talked state of the world enough. Let's go into some music, which will invariably bring us right back to the state of the world, of course. But there you go. So Dickie Flies is with us. We're going to hear This Is Not America right after the headlines on TNT.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. NASA has fired a rocket into an asteroid the size of the Great Pyramid of Giza to try and change its course in a test of the world's first planetary defense system. Police in Australia have come under fire for charging an 85-year-old woman with road rage after she honked her horn to avoid an accident. And it's been revealed that the White House's plan to cancel student loan debt for tens of millions of Americans will cost roughly $400 billion.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then... dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Strength, I don't know why. And then I came across the sea to feel alive and be free. And now I'm here, I never leave. But there's something wrong, something's going on, something's going on. This is not America.
All right, that's This Is Not America. Dickie Fleiser is the one who put that together, and he is with us now. So what's been the reaction from it more recently, or has it sort of died down, or have you gotten some new inspiration coming, or what's the story since we last spoke on this?
It's been almost a year since I started writing that song. So it's like, wow, it's been fast, yeah. But also things have changed. It's sort of, I still get people like once in a while, like saying, "Hey man, I really love the song." And the thing is, it's like, if I had all the time in the world and all the money in the world, I'd be out there and would be promoting the ad thing. But reality is I have three kids in three different school systems.
Right.
And I would love to bring that to more people, and I do what I can, but it's almost like, I wish I had more time, but isn't that what everybody's thinking? So it's like, So
I mean, I think, what about the difference between being a rock musician and being a parent? You know, what's your thoughts on the disparity of those existences? And what's been more fulfilling?
Well, wow, what a question. You see, one thing is that I really think rock music, part of rock music is really an eternal youth, right? It's such a young people's music. What I mean by that is not that older people can't have it, but the spirit of it is youth and young, and there is some anger in there, but there's also some get up and go in there, and it's all, so that's part of it. And you can keep that part of you alive till you die, for sure. But I think the essence of it is that you really, that you connect to something that's really important to you. And then it gets hooked into, well, now you're on tour, and now there are the girls or the guys or the, and here are the drugs and here's the alcohol, and all that gets, that's sort of rolled into it, and it becomes, or it became the story of rock and roll, is sort of, it's part of that, as in, well, I have to party if I want to play rock and roll. It's like that kind of thing. What I mean is when I started, say when I was 12, and I took out that first Kiss Alive 2 album cover or whatever and go, what is this? Or then got into AC/DC and that you connected to something that had nothing to do with partying or the chicks, or none of that was actually part of it. It is really the power of the music. That's really what it's about. And maybe also a little bit like, wow, they all look cool, whatever that means nowadays. But back then, it's like they all cool. But then it gets sort of, then yeah, it gets you get all this other stuff attached to it. But now it's almost like I'm back at the other end of, I love music and I love what it gives me. And it's all the other stuff is not important anymore. It's actually a very purist thing now. And so I can keep that, and I can, you know, so that is, it is fulfilling to make music, and to make music with other people is still how I connect to something that is bigger than me. So it's a spiritual thing. But I guess that's the same thing in a way when you raise a family, as in you know, you're there. And you're there with your children, and it's hard. It can be a hard gig sometimes, but you're still connecting to the essence of what it is to be human with these people. So what is more fulfilling? I think really in the end of the day, it is being a dad and being and seeing the children grow up. But having said that, it's almost necessary for me to plug into the music for my own connection, for my own for my own health and well-being. If I don't do that for a few days, I know I can feel it and I know they can feel it. Like, I'm a worse dad if I don't do that. And it's simply part of my life, I guess.
Yeah, you have to maintain a balance. You have to still be creative. You have to like maintain what makes you a complete human being to really be present for them as well. So, but it does really strike a different balance, especially if you're like in a relationship as you're or married with kids. You know, obviously the rock and roll lifestyle doesn't really coalesce with that unless, you know, you have the ability to take everyone out on tour. Like the really big bands can bring their families out at least part of the time, you know, so that balance is really what you need to achieve in this sort of modern rock world. But what do you think's happening to the spirit of music in relation to the spiritual war that we're under? Like, when you said the stuff about rock and roll being this youthful energy, and it really is spiritual because it is about belief in, like, you know, it leads to this sort of dark stuff too. It can, but I think in its essence, it's this real sort of, its spirit is this sort of celebration of freedom, I think, like if you had to like boil it down. And also it's this sort of celebration of life. And it feels like that is kind of what's under attack in our world now. So I wonder how that's going to affect music going forward.
Yeah. You know, when drum machines started to happen, and then obviously then the next step was computers and computer generated music, the thing that always, and it still bugs me, is that it becomes so, it feels, when I listen to it, it's so regimented, right? It is so, you know, every bar is the same exact length as the one before, that it is not human. And I can hear it, and it bugs me that so many people don't. And even rock music went down that road too. Not all of it,
with Pro Tools.
Poachers and just, and whatever, with beat detective to make everything, you know, oh, that hit here was like 2 milliseconds late. Let's line it up with this. It's all perfect. And perfect is boring. And perfect is not human, right? It's imperfect. That's what you love. And I'm glad that a few bands are, you know, even younger bands are just back to, we're recording without a click track. We were recording without these machine helpers to make us more like machines, because we don't want to be, you know, it's like we want to be human. We want to feel human. So that's why I love when things slow down a bit or go faster or whatever. It's just, it's so,
I really like both. You know, I like, you know, cause I'll tell you what, I mean, if push comes to shove and I had to pick one, I would pick, you know, human feel for sure. And the Leonard Cohen quote, like, and I don't even know if he made this up, but the cracks are how the light gets in or something is the sort of lyric. Mm-hmm. So that's true with music, like, or if you listen to like Highway 61 Revisited or Blonde on Blonde, you know, there's like bass mistakes where the bass doesn't go to the chord change the right way, or goes too soon and then goes back and then hits the chord change. Those things become your favorite part of the song. You know, at first they sort of are jolting, and then as with repeated listens, it bears repeated listens. But drum machines, and Peter Gabriel explained this to me, he was like, they have this strength to them. Like there's a sort of strength. And I understood what he meant by that as well. So I think though, you know, but it is an interesting concept as well though, to think of drum machines being sort of a prelude to the AI takeover. That somebody could write a whole think piece on that. Drum machines were the first step of the AI takeover of transhumanism, started with a drum machine. I should write a poem about that or something, and maybe I have to give you credit. We'll be right back with Tiki Flieser after these words on TNT.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Hey, all you comic book hero fans. Marvel has a new one in the works. It's Captain America, New World Order, which is scheduled to be released in 2024. But the controversy's already underway. You see, the addition of a character, Sabra, an Israeli superheroine, to be played by Israeli actress Syra Haas, is more than some pro-Palestinian groups can take. The character Sabra made her first appearance in The Incredible Hulk in 81. She has superpowers and works for the Mossad, Israel's intel agency. Her costume is blue and white, Israel's colors, complete with a big Star of David. Her son was killed by Palestinian terrorists and she went rogue to bring them to justice. Simply outrageous, isn't it? Well, to appease the pro-Palestinian objections, Marvel tells Variety, while our characters are inspired by the comics, they are always freshly imagined, and the studio will be taking a new approach to the character of Sabra. So, what will a reimagined, woke, politically correct version of Sabra look like? I really have no interest in finding out. It all makes me sick. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
George Soros-backed attorneys include Alvin Bragg from Manhattan, New York, elected in 2021, stated that his office would not be seeking prison sentences for crimes such as armed robbery, drug dealing, and burglary. Under Joe Gonzalez from Bexar County, Texas, violent crime reportedly increased by 15% in San Antonio, while convictions dropped by 17%. John Cruzat became the DA of Dallas County in 2018 and immediately moved forward with a plethora of radical reform policies, including decriminalizing theft under $750, criminal trespass, and drug possession. During his first year in office, crime reportedly increased by 15%, while total convictions dropped by 30%. Jose Garza, elected in 2020 as Austin's DA, has developed a reputation for letting violent offenders go free on little to no bail. Garza released hundreds of inmates from jail over COVID-19 protocols, even though only 6 people in Austin at the time were known to have had COVID-19. Under Garza, police budgets have been slashed and Austin has experienced skyrocketing crime rates and a record number of homicides.
How's the dollar against the peso or the euro? For a favorable rate of exchange and the currency of free speech, listen to today's news talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back with Dickie Fleiser, whose great song, This Is Not America, we heard earlier. So, Dickie, as the narrative of COVID injections and the like crumble, and it just gets more and more absurd, and the cognitive dissonance of still wanting mandates and whatnot. I mean, are you facing mandates? That's one question I wanted to ask. Is there still mandates in LA? They got away with them, or they did away with them, but I hear about some students still being asked to take injections. Is that completely off the table, or are you still dealing with any of that?
It's a little weird right now because there are, I know that LAUSD, so the school district itself, has dropped the mandate. So that's not right. Happening anymore, but various schools still do it.
Right.
And so it's, but I have to say, I mean, they probably will have to be sued to stop. I don't know what else
so weird.
One can do there. Yeah.
That defines our time perfectly right now. This little moment in history is that it's just, there's no clear message. The message is blurrier and blurrier. I mean, it just seems like, you know, people like us who have been paying attention and awake to this for a long time, it's just a wrap already. It's been a wrap. It was a wrap a year ago. Yeah. It seems like most of the world is catching up to that fact. And yet still, there's some schools, you know, demanding injections of this thing that is obviously not effective on any level, and also equally obviously dangerous at this point. It's just total absurdity, and it makes you go crazy a little bit.
It is incredible how long it has taken. I was in a board meeting a year ago where I was speaking about I was speaking about myocarditis, and that right. At that point, it was 1 in 5,000, you know, one in 5,000 males under 18. That was the number then. That was brought forward by a few studies. So I said that, and people there, like one of them, a lawyer, like, oh, that's ridiculous. It's way less. And I mean, now we're on, you know, there are some studies coming out that it's like one in 74.
it's way more than like that, dude.
Yeah. So the one in 5,000 was already a conservative. It's like more than conservative.
More than conservative.
And they wouldn't, and that wasn't believed a year ago. And now here we are, and it's incredible how long it has been taken. And how long it will take. I mean, many people ever catch up? I don't know. It is incredible.
What's the climate like where you are? Are there still tons of masks? I mean, does it still seem, do you sense any change in this or what?
Yeah, I think people in general it seems like people are just over it. Not even that they have an agenda. It seems most people don't have an agenda anymore. It's not, and most people are not in fear, but there are anymore. But there are people who are still, like in our school, the director of two directors, one of them most of the time wears a mask. Some people were masking outside. We still have this rule: if one of the kids was exposed, or one of the kids in the class had a case, then everybody needs to wear a mask for the next 10 days, like that sort of stuff, which is still obviously crazy. But it seems like most people are not militant about it anymore. We had some parent-teacher meetings with the entire class, and then all the parents and like say 4 out of 30 people wore a mask. Indoors, so it seems it's way down, to put it like that.
Yeah. Which well, is, what, course, what do you think has nice to happen to for this? Yeah, what do you think has to happen for this to just be over? Where do you see? What's your prognosis for the end of this insanity? Or do you think we're just going to have a nuclear war and things are going to get crazier and crazier?
I mean, at the very start, I did not think that there was a agenda. I really didn't think that this was all a plan. I couldn't think that that was true. By now, it seems sort of, yes, this is happening. So the pandemic has run its course, I think. And now it's just a matter of, will the big farm companies actually ever will they be brought to justice or not? I'm not sure. But it seems like the pandemic has run its course, more or less. And now new things have been already obviously introduced and been cooked up to keep the state of fear and the state of doom and the state of division, obviously, to keep that alive. Because it helps, right? And not us. It doesn't help the regular people, but it helps. It helps the ones agenda. In power.
Listen, yeah. There's either you're either a conspiracy theorist or you're a coincidence theorist. I mean, you either think that there was plans behind all this, or that all this just happened out of dumb luck, you know. And to me,
right,
it seems way more reasonable at this point in time, and you know, to be a conspiracy theorist rather than a coincidence theorist. I mean, the idea that this just happened from happenstance and the mistakes that were made were just innocent mistakes, and the demonization of safe and effective treatments were innocent mistakes, and that there wasn't, in the very least, a lot of money being made and greed behind a lot of this. And in the very worst, something, you know, depopulation oriented attached to it. To think that none of that stuff played into this at this point, I just can't imagine that. I don't think that's possible.
No. And the thing is, you know, if so, say if you and I and another 10 of our buddies happen to be the most powerful and the richest people on the planet, would we meet up ever and talk about, hey, the world is going down the drain? That it's obvious there are too many people here, and there's obviously this is, we need to do something. We would do that, right? You would do that. You would at least speak about it. You would figure out, and it might even be with, not even with power in mind, but with, you know, we're doing what we perceive is the best for our planet. You can even think that, but there is a plan. You know, some people are very yeah. interested in this to be going down like it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's phenomenal. It's unbelievable that this is the world that we occupy and that we're living in these times. It definitely seems like this is all heading towards something extreme. I can't imagine this setup just kind of dissolving into some form of normalcy. It feels like it's building towards something crazy. And with what's going on with Russia and Ukraine and the things that they're talking about, tactical nuclear weapons and all that, it's just like, I don't know, man. It feels like we're in a sort of Armageddon level event, the sort of preliminaries to it. That, to me, that's what it feels like. I hope that's wrong. Feel like, but
yeah, I feel exactly the same way. I don't think this will fizzle out. This will build, there will be, something will happen. There will be a big release of all this energy. And after that, I don't know where we're going to be. And I hope many of us are still here. But it doesn't feel good right now. It doesn't feel like we're going to a sort of, we're going to a harmonious place.
Yeah. All right, well, Dickie, that's the 1 minute music that just queued up. So tell people where to find you, and thank you for coming back on the show.
Hey, loved it. Love you, Joseph. Thank you very much for what you're doing, and have a great rest of your night.
Keep being the dad of the year. But give us other guys a fighting chance, Dickie. It's wonderful what you're doing with your kids, man. We really appreciate
it. Thanks, man.
And get another anthem out there, because the world needs great rock and roll that speaks the truth. Dickie Fleiser, thank you for coming on.